Welcome to the Bedford First Assembly Podcast. We hope you enjoy this week's message. We're always encouraged to know what God is doing through this ministry to transform lives. If you have a story to share of how God is working in your life, please let us know by sending an email to connect@bedfordfirstag.org. For more information about Bedford First Assembly and to watch the live stream of our services, visit www.bedfordfirstag.org.
Matthew 13, it says, "Another parable he put forth unto them, saying, The kingdom of heaven is like unto a mustard seed, which a man took and sowed in his field, which indeed is the least of all seeds, but when it is grown, it is the greatest among the herbs and becomes a tree, so that the birds of the air come and lodge in the branches thereof." Let's pray. Lord, we just thank you for today. I do thank you for your protection on my family and on Sarah. And God, just how you watch over us, and even in times of trials, that we can have your presence and your peace with us. Today, as we look into your word, God, I pray that you would just encourage our hearts and just speak into each individual life, God, that which you would have them to hear this morning. Bless the preaching of your word, Lord, we pray in Jesus' name. And everyone said, amen. Praise the Lord. You can be seated. I don't know how long I'll preach today, but I don't intend to preach real long. I don't have a long sermon per se, but you never know what that means. But I would like us to close today with just some altar time. You know, sometimes we just need to get around the altars, take some time and pray. So I even told Pastor Steve that I've got a song queued up at the end. And so please don't rush out. We'll kind of have a soft dismiss, but I want to encourage you to hang out during that song. Just listen to that song. Maybe you'll want to come to the altar. If you do, come down here. I'll pray with you, or you can just hang out by yourself in the presence of the Lord. But I even wanted the worship team to be able to do that, not to feel like they've got to get back up here and perform, because we all need that time sometimes just to get before the Lord. And so I hope the Lord will speak to your life today and encourage you and lead you that way. You can go to the next slide. The title of my message today is The Power of a Seed. Don't you love that picture? The power of a seed. Hallelujah. As we are in a changing time in America, I know that sometimes we can get discouraged or disturbed at what's going on around us. But I want to encourage you today that even when we see this turbulence and this changing in our country, that just as we were singing that song, it reminded me of, you know, Jesus is coming soon. We should act differently. I want to tell you, and I'm not fussing at you, but as I'm in America and as I, like, on the internet and all this stuff, I see the way Christians are responding kind of like we're in fear and we're trying to hold on to something and someone's trying to take it. Listen, if you're a follower of Jesus, what you have, no one can take it from you. Amen? Hallelujah. Give the Lord praise. I mean, they can lock you up, they can beat you, but they can never take from you what you have. And we don't need to be people that walk in fear, but in confidence. And I remember that old song, we still sing it sometimes in Morocco, you know, about, even though none go with me, still I will follow. Amen? And listen, you're never going to be in that place where there's none, but that attitude that I'm not going to worry about the turbulence of the world. I mean, if we can do something and vote and do whatever we can do, that's right to stand up for right. But our heart should be, you know what, I'm walking with Jesus. And when the world's all a mess, we can still kind of remain at peace. And when we see these things, we say, wow, this just means we're getting closer to Jesus coming back. Do you think everything's just going to be fine and smooth sailing and Jesus is going to come? The Bible says the world's going to be a mess when Jesus comes. In fact, the Bible says there's going to be a great falling away. And I think some of the stuff we're seeing right now is preparing the way for it. They're still going to go to church, but the whole church is going to fall away from serving the Lord. Say amen or oh me. I mean, that's the reality, church, of what's happening. So at any rate, that's not what I'm preaching on today. You can go to the next slide, but just to encourage you in that, because it's something I'm seeing as I'm here in America. But listen what this says. These things I've spoken to you. This is Jesus. Listen, I gave you the word. I spoke these things into your life. so that in me you might have peace, perfect peace. In the world, you're going to have tribulation, trials, distress, frustration. But look at what it says. But take courage. Have confidence. I have overcome the world. Hallelujah. This is who we follow. We're not following some wimp. He's already paved the way. He's already gone to the cross. He's already redeemed you. He's already called you a child of God. Walk in that confidence. I'm a child of Almighty God. Hallelujah. I'm different. I'm going with Jesus. Well, again, I don't want to talk about the condition of our world today, but I want to talk to you about what we can do about it, what we should be doing about it, and how we can be transforming lives. And simply put, go to the next slide. It is the power of a seed. A seed is an extremely small object in the world. They vary in sizes, obviously, but even the largest ones are rather small. And of themselves, they are generally of very little value, and they do not seem to possess much power. Every day we eat thousands of them. If I had one here, I could crush it in my hand. If it was a harder variety, I could put it on the floor and certainly crush it with my foot. Doesn't seem to possess much power in and of itself. And yet Jesus, when he wanted to describe the kingdom of God, what does he say? The kingdom is like a seed. I mean, he could have said, the kingdom is like power, right? Or it's like a lion, or it's like an eagle. But he says it's like a seed. I mean, come on, Jesus. You can't come up with something better than that. It's like a seed. But the truth is, there is incredible power in a seed. And there's a key that's revealed in the Word to unlock that power. You can go to the next slide. John 12:24, truly, truly, I say to you, unless a grain of wheat, a seed, falls into the earth and dies, it remains alone. But if it dies, it bears much fruit. This is a huge key. It's a key in a ministry. I didn't talk about it today, but I'm an elder in a ministry called Live Dead. And this is our heart scripture to that, to return to that idea that we're giving our lives for Christ and for the kingdom of God. Pastor Bill was talking to me about the days when missionaries would pack their belongings in a coffin and send it off because they knew that was their ride home. It's going to be in that coffin. We don't do that anymore. Anymore, it's a career, and we have to have certain standards and certain levels of living before we'll go somewhere. But God's calling us back to say, die. Die to yourself, everything you are, everything you have. Come, give your life. But this is a key for us to understand that there needs to be that death of ourselves and that sowing of the seed so that the power is released, because the power isn't of the seed of itself, but it's when it goes into the earth and dies. And I want to just mention a little bit, you're saying, well, what is the seed? Well, the seed can be likened to so many things, to Jesus himself. He is the seed. He is the one that came to the earth, went to the cross, and died so that he could bear much fruit, you and I. Amen? And so he is the seed, but the Word of God is also the seed, that it is sown, and this is why we're doing our best to get these into the hands of other people. It might not always take root. Someone might take it and sit it on their bookshelf, and it might be a mother, father, a brother, a sister who grabs it, and it takes root. It might be someone two or three generations later that find this, and it takes root. We don't know how long it will take to germinate, but we know we got to get this into as many hands as possible. It's the Word of God. Hallelujah. And if they don't know the Word, they can't begin to change, to have that germination in their heart that they so desperately need as a nation. You are a seed. Not only should you be sowing your life into others, but the Bible talks about us being sown in our death and then resurrected differently. And I love to share about heaven, and I've preached in this church before about heaven. And I think we from the Word of God, we can't get a good glimpse of heaven, and I understand that. But there's things revealed that we can understand, and this is one of them. He says you're going to be sown like a seed. And he says it's perishable, but you're going to be raised imperishable. Amen? You're going to be raised into a new glory like Jesus. You can go to the next slide. And I just like this to the oak tree. Because if you look at an acorn, and you didn't know it, you didn't grow up around oak trees, or like some of the guys I know, they grew up in the desert, they never even saw a tree. And so people like that, how are they going to fathom if you take them a little acorn and you say, from that is a mighty oak, right? You'd never believe them. You'd be like, come on, there's no way that there's a tree inside of that thing. Go to the next slide. And you say, no, inside of that little acorn is that, right? We know better. That's not astounding to any of us. We all go, oh, yeah, cool. Hey, nice looking oak tree. Somebody came up to me and said, is that in South Carolina? I said, I don't know. It's not the point. Cool oak tree. Go back one to the acorn. But here's what I want you to see in those two pictures. That's you. That's you in your physical body right now, okay? You know what it looks like. You know what it is. And you think that when you get to heaven, that's like what you're going to be like, right? Except you're going to have wings and a violin or something, right? No. You think you're going to be like that, but go to the next slide. You're going to be like that. The glory that God has planned for you is so much grander than you can ever imagine in your own mind and in your own self. And so he tells us we're like a seed that has to be planted. So same thing, don't be scared of death. We're all going to die, amen? But dying for the Christian isn't dying, it's being planted. Amen? We're going to be resurrected. Someone came to me today and said, oh, this year my father died. I said, mine too. We don't need to be scared of. As my father died, I noticed everyone said, passing away. Oh, your father passed away. No, he died. He died. We don't need to be scared of death. Amen? Hallelujah. We're going to be resurrected to a greater glory. Well, money is like sowing, and there won't be another offering, so don't worry. Thank you. Thank you for your giving. But when we take our money and we put it in the plate and we're giving it to the missionary, or we're giving it to VBS, or we're giving it to some project, it is sowing. And God says you'll reap a reward. Amen? Just because the TV preacher might over-manipulate that scripture, those scriptures doesn't make them any less true. We can sow our finances into good soil, and God will bless that. We can sow the gospel, take the gospel message that Jesus died on the cross for our sins, sow that into people's lives, and it will bring a reward. It will bring forth fruit. Good deeds. The Bible tells us we can do good deeds, is sowing seeds. We should all be good deed doers. Amen? We've gotten away from that as the church because we've preached grace and that you're not saved by works. Well, and you're not saved by works. Don't be a good deed doer thinking you're getting points with God. Be a good deed doer because the power of God is inside of you and you've been commissioned to change this world. And that goes from walking a little old lady across the street to helping somebody, you know, start their car or push their car off the road or fix a flat tire or sit with an elderly person or help somebody who's grieving. Anything and all that's a good deed, we should be good deed doers. Amen? Go to the next slide. In James, it tells us we should be sowing seeds of peace. And those who are peacemakers will plant seeds of peace and reap a harvest of righteousness. We should be people of peace. When we walk into our workplace, if it's a place of argumentation and chaos, when we walk in, we ought to be like a wet blanket on that party, amen? We ought to bring calm and peace everywhere we go. We ought to be people of confidence and sow that peace and sow that presence of peace and the presence of the Lord everywhere we go. So many things are seeds and maybe even more than I listed today, but we should be sowing these, all of these things we should be sowing. Go to the next slide. I want to focus, though, as we talk about the power of a seed, is the power of the gospel message going forth. Because someone planted the gospel message in you. Whether it was pastor or a Sunday school teacher or your mom or your dad or even a stranger on the street, someone got a hold of you and got that seed in your heart that Jesus died on the cross, not just for the sins of the whole world, but for you, Larry. Amen. One day you recognize that, oh, this isn't just a church message. Jesus loves everybody. Jesus died for me, for my sins. And that thing germinated, it took root, and you were born again. Amen? And so we got to be sowers of that same message. That God loves you. Jesus died for you. God has a plan. God wants to redeem you, adopt you into the family of God, call you his own. And so there are men, women, and children everywhere that need to hear that message and need to know the power of the seed. Many of you might know my story. I served in the United States Navy, and just in the indoctrinational period when you're raising your right hand and doing all that stuff, the Gideons came and they put a little Bible on my desk about half the size of this one. And they don't hand it to you because they're not allowed to do that. And I hope they're still doing it to this day, but they put it on the desk I was sitting at and they said, if you want that, you're allowed to have it in boot camp. And I took a little offense to it. Who do these people think they are come preaching religion in here? But you can't have anything in boot camp. You're thankful you got a toothbrush, right? I mean, they don't let you have anything. And so I'm like, okay, well, I'll take it. So I took it. And I began reading that little Bible. Every time I had a moment, I didn't have any other book. I began reading that little Bible. And every night in boot camp, they prayed. They had someone pray and do a closing prayer when we turned the lights out. And every night when they prayed, I'd pray and say, Jesus, if you're real, would you show me? Would you show me? Because I'd grown up in church and nothing ever connected with me. But over time, as I night after night prayed that day after day, if I read that word, that seed began to take root in my heart. And God saved me. Hallelujah. I got a friend, and he was seeking the Lord in his own life. And Muslims, just like anybody else, they go through times of trouble and spiritual turmoil in his life. And he was seeking God. And I don't know if you know much about Islam, but it is really a religion of works. And they even have a point system that they believe in. And so you get extra points for certain things. And you don't go to the mosque next to your house. You go to one that's 10 miles away. You get some extra points for the challenge of going the distance. So he was going to a mosque further away. You know, you get extra points if you pray in the mosque instead of at your house. So five times a day, he was trying to go to mosques further away and pray. And he said every time he went into a mosque, no matter which one it was, whether it was far away or near, every time he opened the door, stepped through the door of a mosque, he would hear a still small voice in his ear, and it would just say, "This is not the way." And that's all the voice would say. And he'd cry out to God, and he'd go in and do his prayers, nothing else. And then he was over his brother's house, and his brother had a lot of books, and so he reached up and grabbed a big book, and he began reading it. And after a few days, he realized he'd been reading the Bible. And he came to his brother, "What are you doing with a Bible?" He's like, "Well, I wrote some radio show, and they sent it to me." And he wasn't a believer. So he stuck it back on the shelf. He goes, "I'm not reading that." And he reached in, he grabbed a little tiny book out of a whole bookshelf, and he began reading it. It was the New Testament. And when he cracked it open, he heard that same voice he'd already heard hundreds of times telling him, "This isn't the way." Heard that same voice say, "This is the way." And he gave his life to the Lord. And he's a good pastor and serving Jesus faithfully today. Hallelujah. And so we've got to sow that word. That's why we're trying to get these out. We've got to do that work, church. The seed of the word, the seed of the gospel is incredibly powerful. And sometimes I think we neglect sowing because our culture has become so response oriented and so much immediate attention, so that we go through the drive-thru, right, and we place our order, and if there's three cars in front of us and it's going to take us like 5 minutes to get our burger and fries, what are we doing? "Oh man, this place is so busy. What is their problem? Would they speed up? What's that girl doing up there?" Right? Yeah, I'm telling the truth. Amen. We're so impatient. And you see, all of that, we can't compartmentalize. All that moves over into our spiritual life. It's like Pastor was talking about in the early service, about the early believers just forgetting about everything in their life, coming to the upper room and waiting. You know why the outpouring of the Spirit was back then? Because nobody today would wait, Pastor. It could never happen in 2014. We can't get alone and wait for 10 days. And so this whole thing has permeated everything we know and believe, and we want everything instant. "Well, I'll accept the Holy Spirit. Let me go up to the altar real quick." "Well, it's been 30 seconds. I'm not feeling nothing. All right, I'll try next time." And so we get impatient. We share the gospel with somebody, and we go, "Well, they didn't respond. Oh, well, they're going to hell. Just let them be." Right? We just give up hope so easily. Well, we need to keep sowing, sowing, and sowing. Believing, praying, being an example, being a witness, loving them, waiting and waiting and waiting. We're called as believers to be sowers, to sow the gospel into people's lives. You can go to the next slide. I really like this verse. This is Paul writing, I have planted, Apollos watered, God gave the increase. You see, the increase part, that's not our responsibility. Amen? That should be freeing to us. I'm telling you right now, that is not your responsibility. You can exhale. Whew. I thought that was my responsibility. Your responsibility is to plant. Get the Word of God in people's lives. Be an example to them. Water, pray, encourage, give hope. I planted, Apollos watered. God gave the increase. Sometimes seed falls on hard hearts. Sometimes we get discouraged because people are staunch atheists and against maybe everything we say and believe in. I heard a story recently of a woman in Germany. This was maybe a couple hundred years ago. It's not a recent story, but she was a staunch atheist. And she gave instructions when she died to cut her tomb in a stone and then to place a piece of granite on it and bolt it in place, and engraved on the stone she wanted written, "What is dead, set forever, never to be opened." When she died, they followed her instructions. They cut a hole in a rock. They got a piece of granite. They engraved on it what she instructed. They placed bolts into the mountain and put that piece of stone over it. But in the process, a little acorn had found its way into that tomb cut out of the rock. And between that piece of granite and the face of that hewn cave was a little light getting in there. And it had enough moisture to take root. And that little oak tree began to grow until a sprout found its way between the granite and the cave and busted those bolts and became a tree right through her tomb. Ever to give the testimony that what is dead is dead? Is just not so, that the seed is powerful. Hallelujah. My father died this year, and we had a memorial service for him, I think about 3 weeks ago, and my dad was not a believer, and I tried to witness to him, and one time he even took me aside, and he just said, "Listen, I just don't believe." So from that point, I didn't really try and witness to him as much as just live before him and encourage him and pray when there was a need and just try and, you know, pray for him every day and be there, but, you know, nothing happened. And my dad contracted Parkinson's disease and went through a long, painful process. It got to a point my mom couldn't take care of him. And my mom, bless her heart, she was like, "I'm never going to put you in a nursing home." And I'd say to her, "Stop saying that. Just stop saying that. I know you want to do your best, but he's going to have to go there." And eventually he did. And my mom was real good to go see him every week. And just, you know, even the people who worked there just comment on how kind and loving my mom and dad were. And they said, just a great example for me and for Carol. Carol at the memorial service shared about their marriage and how much it meant to her. And so really just a great marriage and great parents. But he didn't serve the Lord. And you know, but when my dad died, I just had great peace about it. And I remember even going to church in Georgia after memorial service, and some lady said, "Oh, well, your dad's in heaven and all that." And then she said, "Was he a believer?" And I said, "No." And her face went, whoop. And she's like, "Well, maybe he accepted the Lord on his last day." I'm like, "I don't know. I just got peace about it. I'm okay. I'm good." And any rate, at the memorial service was a guy, Fred. And really, I'd already known Fred and really appreciate Fred, but Fred wasn't a friend of the family. I only met him in connection with my father. I think I'd only met him one time before the memorial service. But Fred was a Methodist. And Fred, part of their church, was doing a good deed. And so he was in the good deed program. And they went around the nursing home to pat the little old people on their head and say a prayer for them. And, you know. And so they came into the nursing home where my dad was, and they were going around and doing their little thing and just doing their good deed. And when he walked into my dad's room, though, God spoke to Fred and said, "This is your guy. This is your guy." And Fred, from that point until my dad died, visited my dad every week, 1, 2, 3 times a week, would go sit with my dad. He'd take the Bible, and he'd read with my dad. And he'd sow that seed of the gospel in my dad over and over and over again. The guy who said, "Well, I just don't believe." And so when he stood up at the memorial service and he began to share, this is your dad's favorite scripture. Nothing shall separate you from the love of God. I mean, it just touched my heart so much. And then he said that he had the opportunity to pray with my dad, that he gave his life to the Lord. Hallelujah. And listen, even though he had the seed sown in his life when he was a boy, even though I had tried to sow the seed, you know, it just took this Fred coming back, planting that seed, watering that seed over and over and over. I tell you that story, one, because it's near and dear to my heart, because it's just happened, but also because it's a relevant story that we all got to get a hold of. Don't give up hope on people. It doesn't matter if they say, I don't believe. Don't believe it one minute. I'm an atheist. I don't think there is a God. Well, guess what? He believes in you, right? Don't believe it. Keep sowing the seed. Keep loving them. Don't fight with them. That doesn't help. Keep loving them. Keep sowing the seed. Keep being patient. And maybe you're not the one. Maybe you have to do like I do. Sit in silence and just pray. I prayed for my dad every day. And his salvation was just an answer to that prayer. I would pray when my dad was sick. God, don't let my dad die young. Let him live out all his days. Let him hear your word and know your word. God, give him every possible chance to come to know you. You know, when I think about praying that and how God answered that to bring a guy to his room who just wouldn't leave my dad alone. Man, that's the heart we've got to get. And that guy, Fred, I can't even talk to the guy. He's got like a Holy Spirit all around him, you know. And every time I walk up to him, I just bust out crying. Even I was sharing at my dad's funeral, and I was doing great until I said, I'd like to thank Fred. And I sat there and tried to get my composure. You know, I'm grunting it out. I'm being a man. Come on, yeah, you got to get over it. And people are going, would you just sit down? And I got myself together again, and I said, Fred. And again, I just couldn't, man, I just... Thanks, man. And I gave him a thumbs up, and that's all I could say. But after that, we were having a Coke, and I tried to thank him some more and tell him how much I appreciate him. And he turned to me, and he said, well, you know, I enjoyed visiting your dad, but that's not why I went. He said, I went because I had to. And I love that heart, the way he expressed it. And I can't express it to you the way he said it and the way it hit me. He said, I had to. And it was just like his assignment from the Lord. And sometimes we get an assignment like that, and it's not an easy assignment. And I want to encourage you in your assignment to persevere, that the seeds you're planting are not weak. Amen? They're not fruitless. They're fruitful. Keep planting them. I love results. I love it when a soul's saved. I love it when a church grows. I love it when people say, hey, that sermon touched my life. But listen, our business is not in the results. Our business is in the obedience. I have planted, Apollos watered, God gives the increase. Amen? Well, go to the next slide. Oh, that's my dad. Go to the next slide. And the next slide. And I want to close with this. So when, I don't know, what time is it? It's 12? What time you close it? 12-ish? Okay, so we're ready to close. Let me try and tell you this story real quick, and we'll close. As we close today, Pastor said, it's okay, you can just close the service. So I want to encourage you just to hang out. If we end up at, you know, 10 after 12, you know, the restaurants will still be open. They'll still have food. Amen? Maybe there's someone like my dad in your life. There's an assignment that you've given up on. You need to recommit your life to that. Maybe just to that idea of sowing in somebody. Maybe just in prayer, you've given up praying on somebody, and you need to come back today and recommit. So whatever it is, or you just have a need. Anyway, I want to talk to you about bamboo, a particular type of bamboo called Chinese bamboo, because it's an incredible plant. It takes a significant time for it to see results, and so you prepare the soil, you plant the seed, and you begin to water it, and after 1 year, there's nothing. After a whole year, no results. So 2 years, you've been watering this thing every week and watching it and looking, but still you're just watering and waiting. After 3 years, still nothing. Nothing's even broken the top of the soil, not even a tremor. And you start to think maybe it was bad seed. Listen, if you're sowing the Word of God, it's not bad seed. Amen? You might not see the results you want, but it's not bad seed. Keep sowing that good seed. Keep watering it. Keep believing. After 4 years, you would still see no bamboo, and you might start to get a little angry and disillusioned. Why did I ever believe bamboo could grow? Why did I ever believe he or she could get saved? Why did I ever think God would listen to my prayers? And you begin to get ready to quit, and you're wondering if you're crazy. But you say, I'll keep after it, and you keep watering, trying to have hope. Finally, after 5 years, you look at the dirt, and something pops up, and it looks like a blade of grass. And you're like, 5 years for a piece of grass. Is that bamboo, or did some stray seed fall in here? Could it be? And you come back the next day to see what's happened to your grass, and it's 2 foot tall. And you're like, is someone playing a game on me? Is somebody bringing bamboo? And so you come back the next day, and it's 4 foot tall. And every day that bamboo grows by 2 feet. And in 5 weeks, you look up at the sky, and you say, I got to measure this thing. Go to the next slide. Next slide. Hope we have a next slide. There we go. And after just 5 weeks, the bamboo stretches 90 feet into the sky. We might look at that and say, wow, bamboo grew 90 feet in 5 weeks. That's what we like to see. But the bamboo grew 90 feet in 5 years. Took somebody faithfully plant the seed and water and wait and have hope and believe. But it did sprout and it did grow. And so don't get discouraged. It may just be that you're growing Chinese bamboo. But listen, there's power in a seed, can open a tomb, can grow 90 feet in 5 weeks, can save an old man who's rejected Jesus his whole life. There's power in the seed.